Hi, welcome back to Modern Torah. Every week, I look at our Torah portion and I try to put it in conversation with the world around me. There's something relevant in our tradition for every moment and every day. And every one of us should feel empowered to find our own meaning in the text. Just remember, there's nothing new under the sun. Now let's learn together. Behar, the first of this week's double Torah portion, offers a new system for governing the agricultural and economic life of ancient Israel. The Shemitah system is a 50-year cycle of growth and renewal, meant to offer the land and the people who rely on the land a break, and ultimately the chance at a fresh start. Shemitah means release in Hebrew. Every 7 years, the land was left unplowed. Debts were forgiven, and food was made available to all. And after seven cycles of seven Shemitah years, the community would celebrate a Jubilee year, when lands would revert to their ancestral owners, workers in bondage would be set free, and the whole Israelite economy would, in a sense, reset itself. The Shemitah system fundamentally changes the Israelites' relationship with the lands on which they live and work. The Torah says, "In buying from your neighbor, you shall deduct only the number of years since the Jubilee, and in selling to you, he shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. The more such years, the higher price you pay. The fewer such years, the lower the price. For what he is selling you is a number of harvests." While Israelites are free to sell the product of their lands, grains, olives, dates, whatever they might grow, the land itself isn't for sale, only temporarily for rent until the next Jubilee year. Leviticus 25:23 speaks, I think, to the relationship the Torah is trying to cultivate, one between the Israelite people and the physical world God created, represented here by the land that sustains them. The text says, "The land must not be sold beyond reclaim, for the land is mine. You are but strangers, resident with me." No system, however, for checking social and economic inequities is perfect. The Torah carves out a peculiar exemption in the Jubilee year for houses built within walled cities versus houses that stand in open country. The latter are treated as land, and if sold, they are returned to the seller in the Jubilee year. But for houses built within walled cities, the Torah only gives the seller 1 year from the date of sale to reclaim the property. The text, in making this exemption, says, "If it is not redeemed before a full year has elapsed, the house in the walled city shall pass to the purchaser beyond reclaim throughout the ages. It shall not be released in the Jubilee, but houses and villages that have no encircling walls shall be classed as open country. They may be redeemed, and they shall be released through the Jubilee." When researching for this episode, I was stumped by this exemption. The Torah seems to be treating urban and rural communities differently, and there has to be a reason. But maybe the Torah isn't carving out an exception for houses in walled cities so much as it's forcing our focus back on what really matters, our relationship with the land. The Jubilee year gives even people who have had to mortgage their ancestral homes or committed themselves to servitude the chance of a fresh start. And the emphasis in all cases seems to be on returning people to their land. Bechukotei, the second of this week's Torah portions and the last in the book of Leviticus, offers a summary of how those who follow God's laws are rewarded and those who ignore God's laws are punished. The rabbis paired these final two portions together for a reason, and it's more than speeding along our reading cycle. If we put the two portions in conversation with each other, maybe the blessings God offers in the second parsha represent how the world benefits from a system like the one presented in the first parsha, one that forces us back, regularly, to a better starting place. The text says, "When you sell your property to your neighbor, or buy any from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another." How different would our economy function if all of us approached our business dealings with the mindset of do no harm? How much more creative and ambitious could we be, knowing that if everything fell apart, we can restart in the next Jubilee cycle? I watched a YouTube video this week called The Great Realization, with the British spelling, which you should check out if you haven't seen it yet. Through the magic of a rhyming children's story, the producer points out that this pandemic offers all of us the opportunity to reset our economy, our societies, and our relationship with the physical world. And while it's not exactly Shemitah or the Jubilee year, I'm encouraged to see how we all take good advantage of this opportunity. Chazak, chazak, v'ni chazek. Be strong, and make an effort. Shabbat shalom.
Modern Torah is a production of Not a Rabbi Media. We publish new episodes every week on Friday mornings. For more information about this or any of our other podcasts, go to notarabbi.media.